Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Brother, do you know Kevin Kincaid from Crossing Broad?
I do not know him, no.
Yeah, he just put some...
Well, I know who he is. Kevin Kincaid. I don't even know who that is. Anyway.
It's always soccer in Philadelphia. Welcome in, everybody, midweek. No union game this Wednesday, so we have a break before San Jose on Saturday, and your team, your town, your Philadelphia Union on absolute fire right now. Another win, 3-0 against Montreal on the weekend, as they like to say in England. And that's 7 wins and 2 draws. Over the last 9, they are back in it, and we are putting the LA game in the rearview mirror. We're putting the Minnesota game in the rearview mirror. We're looking forward to getting back in the Supporter Shield race and seeing what's coming down the pike for the summer. But we're gonna talk a little bit about that, and then we're gonna switch gears and do kind of a cool interview profile slash thing with tonight's guest, a special guest joining the program for the first time. But you've heard his voice many times before. It's Philadelphia Union public address announcer Kevin Casey with us on the program. Kevin, how are you, man?
Great, Kev. How are you?
Good, good. It's good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been waiting so long. I mean, what episode are we on now?
I know, I feel bad. It's like 170 or something like that. I always bump in. What happens is I go down to, you know, I make my annual like journey down to the press box or something, and I see you or I see Shannon or I see Dave or something. And I'm like, shit, have I had that person on the show yet? I think I got to get him on the show.
You know? I thought you were saving me for 200, but 170 is fine. That's cool.
So I sat down and saw you and Mark Evans in the cafeteria before we before the game. Of course, I came down to the only 0-0 game that they've had in like the last like 3 weeks, of course. But I was like, yeah, we got to get Kevin on here and have him tell his story and pick his brain and ask all about it or whatever, because I find that an interesting line of work that I don't know much about. And quite frankly, I don't think a lot of listeners know much about it either. So we're going to get into all that.
Great.
I'll ask you a bunch of questions about that. But first of all, look, you got a good vantage point. You got the best seat in the house, you know, watching these guys, right? What have you seen? What have you made out of their recent run of form here?
Yeah, I do have a great viewpoint of all the action from up there. And what I've seen recently is more of what we saw from last year's Union squad, right? And you kind of knew it was always going to sort of come out at some point this season, right? But you could sense in the first 5 minutes of that Montreal game that Montreal was in trouble, right? You can just sort of see there's an energy to the squad, right, that they have within the first 5 minutes. They're getting great touches. There's chances up top. And when we see that and we see Gazdag clicking in the midfield there, you sort of just know that, you know, the other side's in trouble tonight. And that was kind of the situation on Saturday. I love the three center backs. Mm-hmm. I love Damian Lowe's play right now. I think his anticipation is second to none. I mean, the way he can read a pass, step in front, and then carry it forward is exciting to watch. My son's a center back, so I'm probably a little bit biased to the guys out of the back. You know, there's enough glamour with those boys up top, so we have to give the guys in the back some love sometimes too. So all things positive right now, pointing to just what we sort of expected to see from them this year, right?
Yeah, well, I think the nice thing too is, look, I mean, you know, Montreal's going to rest guys because they have, you know, had a big game coming up, and, you know.
Is it a big game, though? Is it?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, right.
But look, when the opponent rolls out a lesser lineup and they're sitting a bunch of their starters or whatever, it's nice to see the Union go out and just punish that, you know, and not play down to the level, you know, right. Just go and you have the superior squad on the field and just go do it. And look, I mean, they switched up some guys as well. You know, Matt Real comes in. I guess Harriel is playing over on the right. Kai Wagner slides in. He plays left center back as opposed to wing back. And they had some rotation in there. I feel like that squad rotation is such a – Jim would always roll his eyes when we would ask him questions about that, because they didn't really have
Right.
They couldn't, there wasn't anything to rotate because you didn't have enough depth, but now they're able to, you know, change some things up and show some flexibility. But you know, more than anything, man, I think the forwards are just moving well. They're active, you know, they're getting on the ball and they just look like they're like the work rate is there. And it looks like they've kind of gotten through that slog of like so many games in the early months that I think this is the team that we all thought we were going to see last year.
But it's almost like last year too, we saw there was sort of a lack of connection from those three up top. And it's almost like as the weather warms up, they warm up, right? And their chemistry. Yeah. And the same thing happened this year, right? It's like weather's warming up now. Oh, yeah, there they go. They're on fire right now, the three of them up top there, you know, connecting and having that chemistry and really reading well.
They're like the Phillies, man. It's like June Kyle Schwarber. How much have you heard about June Kyle Schwarber?
That's right. That's right. October Kyle Schwarber is so much more fun.
It's funny, though, man, because you look at the stats right now. I mean, Carranza has 9 goals. Gajdag has 7. Ua has 6. And the rest of the team combined has 3. And 2 of those are from guys who are bench players. So it just speaks to the importance of what the front three has to be, you know, because, I mean, you don't get goals from the shuttlers. You don't get goals from the fullbacks. You don't get goals from the center backs either. So,
right,
you know, they basically ride or die with that front three. And when they're on, man, they're on. And when they're off, they're off.
Yeah. And I think the guy that I'd still love to see in a Union jersey is Corey Burke coming off as that reserve.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be the main. I mean, look, they you know, I'm not sure what Ernst is going to do in the transfer window here. But I think, you know, when you have a good string of results that says, oh, hey, look, we're turning it around here. You know, I think that's always incentivized them to say, OK, well, let's go out and patch what holes we think we have. And that's the main one. That's the main one is replacing that striker off the bench. You need a number 9 coming off the bench.
Right.
Cause you just don't have it. And, you know, Joaquin Torres maybe, you know, hasn't been what we thought he might be. Andres Perea, you know, kind of buried a little bit. And then you know, the other guy that they went out and added was Damian Lowe, who's a center back. So, look, I mean, nothing profound to say there, but I do think Ernst has to go out and get another striker at the deadline.
And the other thing too, Kev, is we've been doing this really without, you know, Sullivan and McGlynn in particular, right? Who's been out of the lineup with the U-20s down there. So, and then again, shifting back to the back, you know, Brandon Craig's probably had the most positive feedback from that U-20 World Cup. And
yeah,
I mean, where's he going to find time in this Union 11 with those center backs back there? So
it's good problems to have. I am a center back as well. I was. And so you don't have to convince me about the 3-5. I've been calling for that for like 10 years now, you know, but I just think that they have, I said this on the last podcast when Mike Cervetio from PSP was on, but I just think that, you know, some of the best players that they have on the team are center backs. Look, and when they were depleted and they had guys who were out on international duty and other guys who were injured, like who's the next best player on the bench right now? It's Damian Lowe.
Yeah.
So you go fit your the best person. You put the best person out you can out on the field and make the formation make sense. These guys are good. These guys are like international quality dudes. They're not rookies. Like they know what they're doing. They can play different shapes, you know? So it was good. It's been good to see that from Jim.
And oh, by the way, we have the best goalkeeper in MLS too, you know? So that back is just formidable.
I snuck him onto my top 25 Philadelphia athletes list for crossing broad. You're always gonna anger somebody though. You know, I put a Union player on there. I'm gonna anger the 4 for 4 people.
That's unbelievable.
I only had one Union player on there, and then the Union fans were like, "Why do you only have one on there?" So it's like you know,
you can't win, man. You know that. You should know that by now. You're never gonna win. You're always gonna make somebody angry.
You just gotta eat it and be like, look, you can't care about it. You know, trying to please everybody, you're gonna please nobody. So
exactly.
So figure. But yeah, they've been in a great run of form. It's exciting. So as of recording this, since he's still in first place on 39 points and Nashville's on 31, but the Union are right there on 30. They have 1.88 points per game. Reference here, when they won the Supporter Shield back in 2020, they did it with like a 2.04, I think, during that COVID year. And last year when they finished runner up or tied with LA, they were 1.97. So you got to get it. If they're going to challenge for the Shield, that's probably where they just have to bring it up into that like probably 1.9-ish range.
We're not too far off last year's pace though, right? As far as points right now in this point of the season.
So they're at what did I just say? They're at 1.88 right now. They were 1.97.
Okay.
That's not that far off.
Right.
Not that far off. And they in 2021 when they kind of had the quote unquote down year, it was only 1.59. So
right.
But yeah, they're in good shape. All good things. on that front. All right, so let's turn it over. Let's switch it over to look, I mean, you guys who are listening to this show, we always try to, you know, every so often we try to mix it up and do these interviews where we, you know, bringing people in and around the team who you may know, but you may not really know, and sort of just profile them and ask them a bunch of questions and learn as much as we can about them. And, you know, I always enjoy doing these kinds of things because they're a departure from, you know, from what we typically do. You know, I like doing the feature stuff and kind of change of pace a little bit. So take me back, Kevin, let's go like all the way to the beginning. Sure. You've been doing this for 13 years now, with the union specifically.
Correct.
What was the genesis of all that? Like, how did you start here? Who did you talk to? How did it all work out, and how did that all come to be?
Yeah, so let's go all the way back. It's 1995, and I'm at Eastern University. It's my sophomore year. I'd played a year and a half of soccer for Eastern University before I realized that my feet are really slow, and I don't feel like working on, you know, increasing my foot speed. So let's pick up a microphone. And started working at Eastern within the basketball teams, and then picked up most of the sports. And it's interesting, you know, I'm sitting in the bleachers and our athletic director is doing the PA announcing. And I have this thought in my mind. It's like, I think I'd like to give that a shot. I'd like to try it, you know, and what I always tell my students, you know, is if I hadn't taken that extra step to actually pursue it, I'd be missing out on all these opportunities I have now. So, you know, how many things do we really in our lives want, but don't ever take that extra step to go out and try and achieve, right? So, so the athletic director allowed me to do it. You know, it was the age of ESPN Jock Jam CDs. So grabbed a couple of those, right? And did this sort of pregame presentation that was well-received. And, you know, after that, I'm doing Philadelphia Kicks games as the sort of secondary guy behind Adam Hertz, who was the athletic director at Swarthmore, now down at McDaniel, and started doing Kicks games. You know, and it's like one door opens another, and Philadelphia Phantoms, Philadelphia Wings, Atlantic City Surf, Camden River Sharks, right? And start to build up this sort of reputation and resume. And then, you know, the team was announced. I was lucky enough to be in the building the day that the Don Garber announced that the Philly was getting the franchise. I was sitting with a buddy of mine by the name of Wayne Rasmussen, who was a consultant for Nick Sakevich. And, you know, I guess Nick was thinking about a PA announcer, and they called my name, and I was able to, you know, jump into that position. And, you know, it's really where I've sort of carved my niche out in this market of really talented PA announcers in Philly. I mean, well, first of all, Lou Nolan and Dan Baker. I mean, that's almost 100 years worth of experience between two of them, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I think the guy that does the most unique job I've ever seen is Matt Court. You know, mm-hmm. it's his style. It's the way he does it. It's physical. You know, you almost have to see the video of him doing it. He does a fantastic job. And so, you know, I've just been lucky enough to sort of find my niche in the soccer market, which is great because I love soccer more than anything else. So
take me back to Eastern then, when this athletic director gave you this opportunity here. Did he say something along the lines of like, hey, you have a good voice, or like, you know, did he see something in you, or did they just like give you the opportunity straight up? I mean, it's not a job that everybody can do. I mean, like, you have to have like, you know, good delivery and a good like approach to it. It's not like, you know, it's not a one size fits all kind of thing.
So I think it was a thank God somebody else is interested in doing it, kid. Here, you take it and do it. I don't even think they were worried about. And honestly, Kev, I'd never done anything like it before, so I had no idea what it was going to sound like or what it was going to do. You know, coming out of high school, I had, you know, ideas about maybe wanting to pursue a broadcasting degree. But, you know, I went the elementary education, and I'm a teacher now 25 years and have loved that experience. And I just kind of think everything fits into place for a reason. You know, this teaching career that I have has the flexibility to allow me to pursue this other passion that I have, which is, you know, working live events as a public address announcer. And, you know, I don't know, Kev, it just sort of all came together and was well received. And the more I did, the more comfortable I got, and the more experience you get, and you start to really be able to adapt different styles to the team you're working with. So I'm just so blessed that I've had all the opportunities that I've had.
So let's say,
let's use this week as a template, right? The Union, obviously it's an away game, but say the Union were playing at home on Saturday. What kind of prep do you have to do before a game? Like, do you study the other team's roster? Do you go over pronunciations? What do you have to bring with you to the stadium?
Yeah. So what I'll do is it's a 7:30 start time. So I leave my house at about 4:30, get to the stadium in time for our 5:30 production meeting. And I think that's the one thing that a lot of people don't take into account is all of the various elements that are part of a game presentation with really any sporting event, but definitely with the Union, right? Sumner Gilliam is our producer, and he sort of runs the show and pulls all the strings. So, for example, we'll go over the and everything is meticulously timed out, right? Because if we don't have our business done by the time that MLS says that we need to kick off, you know, there's a potential for a fine from the league for being late to kickoff, right? Mm-hmm. So every element is meticulously timed out, and it's broken down between what I have to read, what graphics have to go up on the board, what graphics may have to go up on the lower LEDs, what music or sound might need to be played, right? What live shots the cameramen might have to pick up for a particular element. And, you know, all of that goes into that. And so we meet with a production meeting about 2 hours prior to game. And then we'll go through all of the different elements of that game. And then, every week I'll check the opposing team's media notes, and within the roster, they have phonetic spellings of the names. Yeah. And usually they're you know, done well enough where that's about all I need as far as saying the names correctly, right? Because that's literally the only job I have to do. And I don't care if it's, you know, one of the top players in our league or if it's the young man that's kicking out the first ball for the night, right? Like I want to get names right. That's their moment. So I'm meticulous on pronunciations and try and get everything right that I can. And then it becomes, okay, what are the starting 11s for the night? Let me get them in. Mm-hmm. I'll write the visiting starting 11s in phonetically so that I have them ready to go. And then from there, we start talking at probably about 45 minutes before game time. With different reads and different elements, and then we build into the pregame, and we're ready to roll.
So, you know, all these guys who are doing the broadcast, right? They show you these big fancy sheets that they put together. Yeah. You know, they're big prep sheets with all their notes and stuff like that. But you're not, you know, you don't need to know where the dude went to college and how many goals he scored last year, or whatever, right? I mean, the key for you is just getting the names right.
Kev, no. I am Ron Burgundy, man. That's literally the only thing that I have to worry about is what is written on the page. Dave Leno makes like artwork out of his out of his game presentation, and he needs to, right? Because there's so much information that he has to drop in. I literally read from a script, you know. So I've always joked that you know, it's a Ron Burgundy deal, man, where I just have to read from the script. So.
So, I mean, I guess to that point, the only thing, you know, because I was looking at if you get a chance, Kevin's Twitter handle is KKCasey395, and there are videos in there or on his feed of him doing these calls from the booth from Subaru Park. And it's just interesting to me because I come from a broadcasting background. But your setup is so minimal in there, right? I mean, you have a mic, obviously. You right. have what looks like a monitor on the left side there, I guess.
And, correct.
Is that the microphone box? It looks like there's only like two buttons on that box that was like off to the right there. Is that the only equipment that you have?
Exactly. And I'll tell you, so the box has two buttons on it. The left button is you push it down and mic goes live, right? You push it again, mic goes off. The right button is to talk to the producer. Mm. Now you'll notice that the right button and the left button are awfully close to each other. Right. And so I can say that but there has been one or two times where I've went to go talk to Sumner and it's been over a live mic, but I've picked it up. And at one time, a buddy of mine texted me, he goes, dude, did you know your mic was on right there? I hit the wrong button, man. I'm not perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So that's there. The monitor on the left is usually the TV feed because mm-hmm. it allows me, it's a little bit delayed usually. So it allows me to look at a replay.
10, is it like 10 to 15 seconds usually on like, I think it's the same as the press box. Cause like, when there's a, you know, if there's an offside or something, we're all craning our necks and looking back up there to see what happened. You're on the same feed that we are.
Yes. And, and what I like to use it for is now I, again, all the information is given to me, right? Cause we want to make sure we're correct. So when yellow card cautions are assessed, we get the information from down at the field. There's the red hat down there that calls it up. You know, most of the time we know it, right? But we just kind of wait till we're sure. So
tell people, Kevin, if you don't mind, explain to listeners what the red hat person is.
Yeah. So, I don't know why it's a red. Why it's always been a red hat? I guess it's just a noticeable. But literally, there's a guy down there that is coordinating with TV and the officials on the field to make sure that TV is ready before play begins. And so a lot of times what you'll see is you'll see the red hat standing up at kickoff. And a lot of times you may notice that guys are standing around and you're thinking, well, why aren't we playing? Well, look at that red hat, because that red hat's giving signals, you know, sometimes 2 minutes or 1 minute, and then he'll start counting down and he'll count down and point to the official. And the official knows that that's when, you know, they're back. Now, in other sports, the red hat has more to do because there's media timeouts, TV timeouts, things like that, right? So in soccer, you don't have as much to do. So the red hat also doubles as being our official, you know, voice on the field as well, so we can get that. But I'll look at the monitor for trying to get assists and making sure I have the right goals and things like that. Yeah.
So kind of a two-parter follow-up to that then, because I see you're wearing headphones. Is anything other than the producer's voice going into those headphones?
No, usually it can. I can hear other people, but usually just producer. And so, I've grown pretty adept at being able to talk while he's talking in the headsets to other people.
Yeah, that's tough because, you know, I was a producer in television and, you know, anchors were what I learned was that every anchor was like different with their IFB. Right. And like for people listening to the podcast, like IFB is just a fancy name for an earpiece, you know, and you see, like some anchors didn't want me talking to them a lot. Others, I would just try to talk to them during like commercial breaks.
Yeah.
You know, some would always be like fidgeting with it and like grabbing and trying to, you know, to make it make sense. But, that's
now I do like I just use the old AirPods, right? The wired AirPods, because I don't like having those big cans on in a game. Cause I feel like I'm outside of the action, if you will. Right. Like, you know, doing games at Lincoln Financial Field is a challenge because you're enclosed in glass. And so when you are enclosed in glass and now you put those big headsets on, you really, and I feed off of the energy of the crowd. So having that window open and being able to hear the crowd, you know, only fires me up as well too. So
I have to say that like Lincoln Financial, I hate the press box at Lincoln Financial. I would assume you guys are just off to the left of the press box,
correct,
right?
Like
That area. Yeah. Cause so it's like, you know, for people who don't know, if you're ever at a Eagles game or if you're ever, you know, like a soccer, like an international friendly or something like that, look up into the corner of Lincoln Financial Field and you see where the glass is and the, you know, the media is kind of shoved up in the corner there, but it's all enclosed. So you just can't really hear much of anything. It's a very weird, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a very weird vibe. It's like quiet in there.
Right.
But you hear like the muffled like roar of the crowd and you're just like, where the hell am I? Like, what is going on? Cause it doesn't feel, cause I was so used to being at Subaru all the time that you were just able to get that ambiance. And I think honestly too, that probably helps people like you. It probably helps people like Dave, Danny, whoever's doing the game for Apple, because you can just absorb more of the atmosphere and kind of give that back out for lack of a better word.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I'm as big a fan as anybody. They just happen to put a microphone in front of me. Right. So, so I love feeling that energy from the crowd. You know, when it's a big moment, you know, when it's a big goal call, you know, Marco Fabian in extra time of New York Red Bulls, Jacob Glessness extra time of Red Bulls, you know, it's a special moment and you sort of play on that as well. So, you know, it's just fun to be part of that experience.
It's interesting to me because certainly, you know, when a goal is scored, for example, the dupe song comes on.
Yep.
Some time elapses and then your voice comes in later. Union goal scored by number 15, you know, Fernando Aristeguieta, right?
Wow. Great name drop. You might hear that one later.
I don't know why that one came
up. It's the most random. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But do you ever have any issues with, I guess, I don't know how to explain this in podcast form. Like, for example, if people are listening to like Merrill Reese on the radio, like right. he has to make the call right away. Right. So he has like a spotter, what we call a spotter
right.
in there, who's like a person with like binoculars, who's able to identify like, okay, this is exactly who the player was. It's a little different in football, I guess, because you got dudes wearing helmets. There's a lot of,
yeah, so much is happening too.
Yeah, you're trying to read like numbers on the back of the jerseys, but have you ever had any issues like, or are you ever like in the produce, talking to the producer, be like, hey, we should like, who, what's going on here, like, who is this dude, or like, I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would say that soccer is a sport that allows for time for you to get it right. There are few and far between times where it's like, well, is that an own goal, or are we getting credit for, like, what are we announcing here, you know? So yeah. that might be an instance where and I hate really announcing own goals if I can help it, you know what I mean? Like, unless yeah. it's super obvious. You know, I'm not the official. Let me give it. Yeah, you want to give the official information. You want to be correct with it, right? But you know, you also want to, you know, have that moment of announcing the goal scorer, right? So
yeah,
you know, situations like that, maybe when it's an own goal. There are times when it's a bit of a crowd, and you're like, well, who did the caution go to? I'm not really sure. But more times than not, yeah. no. Now yeah. I did the NCAA lacrosse championships. And you know, lacrosse is a sport where, yeah, a spotter is definitely more vital for you, because so many goals are scored and they're scored so quickly, and getting the assist, yeah. getting the goal, a spotter is super helpful. But in soccer, not so much.
Yeah, I remember, it's funny because I was talking to Mark Zumoff about that, and, you know, because he filled in, he did a couple games of play-by-play where the pacing of soccer was just completely different from, you know, what he was doing with basketball. I feel like you have a good perspective on this because you've called a lot of different sports, but, you know, it's so much more breathable, the game, you know?
Yeah.
So I think you run into less of that cluster F of like, oh God, like, I, you know, there's like 40 dudes down there and there's a bunch of this stuff happening or whatever. I think it's like, right, it allows you to get things right, just because I think it's slower, it's more deliberate. There's less to announce, probably, and you know, there's.
But I think also, Kev, the challenge, especially for I think American broadcasters coming from other sports, is allowing the sport to breathe. I think a lot of times you hear guys who want to talk too much, you know, and not to say that we have to do everything the way they do across the Atlantic Ocean, right? But mm-hmm. if you listen to some of those guys, there's long periods of silence where there's just names being given of who's making the passes, not necessarily scribing.
Yeah.
And to some extent that there's a bit of poetry, not to be too corny or anything with it, but right. But it's just that allowing it to breathe is vital, I think.
Yeah. I think Gus Johnson would say, I think he did say it actually after he left, after they had him on soccer for a little bit and then he stopped doing it. I think he said that that was one of the things that he struggled with, was just trying to understand that, like, hey, I don't have to say anything at all here, you know, I mean, like, I can just kind of back off and, you know, let it do its thing. Was there a favorite name? I think you had like an all name team of like your favorite guys to call.
Yeah. So you inspired me, Kev. So over the weekend, you tweeted out, I believe, the current Union 11 versus an all Union 11 team, right? Mm-hmm. Who would be the better team? And so that got me thinking, because I'm a PA announcer and I just yell names into microphones. Over the course of the last, 14 years, who are the names that I've loved to say the most? So I'm going to go through this with you right now. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, we're going to start in the back. Now, the goalkeeper, apologies to Farid Mondragon, whose name is definitely better to say. But when Andre Blake plays the level that he does, it makes the name that much better. Now, I will tell you that there's a couple of things you want as a PA announcer. You want lots of syllables in a name.
Yeah.
And then lots of vowels, right? And Blake doesn't have any of that, but there's something about his longevity that's helped, right? So he's the goalkeeper. All right, now we're going to go out.
You can kind of hold on. You can hang on the Dre. You can hang on the second syllable a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and then great story here. So I hosted the Union Foundation Gala, right? And the guys are all there, and it's at the end of the night. We get into the elevator, and Andre comes into the elevator with his wife, and you know, I'm sort of not a face that you recognize. So I've seen the guys, been around the guys, but you're never sure, like, well, he might not know. And I don't want to bother him. So I'm just kind of, you know, keeping to myself. And next thing you know, I hear with Andre's head down, in goal, number 18 on. And it's Andre Blake who's doing him. It's like, that's kind of cool, right? So
yeah. Isn't that awkward though, real quick? Because I don't know. I have the same thing with you. I'm like, I don't know if these guys like really know who we are. I mean, they know faces, but I don't think they know like names or whatever. So I'm like, I don't know if this guy thinks my writing is shit. I don't know if he thinks my opinions are shit. Like I don't. So right, you always say like, hey, you know, it's Kevin from Philly voice or whatever, you know.
I've been with the team 14 years. Every time I go there, I still introduce myself as if they don't know me, right? Because I just assume like I'm a voice, but I'm not a face. You don't know. So you know,
I think you don't. Yeah, I mean, I think like the assumption that people would know who we are just makes me feel like arrogant or something.
Right,
like, who am I? I'm just some dude who sits in the press box. I'm not.
But Joey's like, will you stop introducing yourself to me? I mean, I've been here this long. All right, so let's keep going here. So I went with a back three.
Okay.
First on my list, Olivier Baizo. Again, the O, right?
Yeah.
And then the O at the end. And then I went Carlos Valdez because the Carlos was always so much to fun to say.
Yeah.
And I think I always took my inspiration from Dan Baker's Carlos Ruiz. And now I'm going to go also, this name's not really, it's Ray Gattis, right? Because Ray and I bonded over the when Ray scores, we riot little thing we did with him here, right? Because Ray played so long for us, never scored a goal. And I started tweeting out, when Ray scores, we riot, right? And then it kind of took on a little bit of a life of its own. We had some T-shirts made, and Ray and I kind of bonded over that experience. You know, again, the name itself, not the most exciting name, but, you know, he's my guy. All right, let's move to midfield. Midfield, Tranquillo Barneta.
Oh, that's a great one, yeah.
Right, the vowels in there?
Yeah.
Jamiro Montero.
Vowels.
Again, vowels. Yeah. And then Fafa Pico. Fafa was always fun to say. And my captain is, you know, what you would expect, Alejandro Bedoya, right? Because,
yeah.
So in the control room, we have sort of a running joke. If our, depending on how our time's going, Sumner will say, when we're doing a starting 11, short Bedoya or long Bedoya. And so when he says long Bedoya, we have a contest to see how long I can hold out the O in Alejandro. And I'm telling you, what's his name? Andres Cantor, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, what he does is so impressive because at about 6 seconds, I'm gasping for air, right? And he just can hold out that goal call forever. So so at the next game, see if you can tell if it's a short Bedoya or a long Bedoya.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let's go with my top three up top. Ready? One of my all-time favorites, an OG, Danny Mwanga.
Mwanga,
right. Mwanga was a fun name to say.
By the way, just real quickly, because we're watching the LAFC games, they keep saying Denny Mwanga.
It sounds it sounds like Mwanga. Yeah, and just the way it's like the two syllables, Danny Mwanga. It almost is like pop, pop, pop. Like it lends itself to just the awesomeness.
Yeah.
And then I can't believe he said this, but the other forward I have up top there is Fernando Aristeguieta.
It's a great name.
Yeah right? And so he's on my list. And then lastly is my guy, Sebastian Letou, right?
Letou.
Yeah. I just hosted a golf event for the Starfinder Foundation, and Sebastian played in it. They put me on what's called the party hole, right? Imagine this. They had me there on the 14th par three. There's a DJ. I'm on a microphone. There's beverages that abound on this hole, right? And when you come in, I'm talking throughout your entire bat. I'm like breaking every golf etiquette, and we just had a great time with it. So Sebastian comes, and I have to like introduce him like he just scored a game-winning goal. It just lends itself, right?
Yeah.
And then my manager is the most ironic one. It is probably the worst name in the history of PA announcing, and that would be Fred. I mean, what was I supposed to do with one syllable, right? Fred. So
well, that's good, because I was going to ask you. Yeah, I'm like, are there any names that you like were hard? That's not hard, but yeah,
it was always a rough one.
Yeah, you can't do anything with it. I'm looking down the list now of like there were guys who just had one who only went by one name, right? But like Ilsinho ends on an O.
Oh, that was a good one. That was an honorable mention. Yeah, I can only put so many guys in midfield.
Yeah, you know, Kleberson was just one name. He didn't play a lot of games.
Yep.
Some of the guys in the early days, like who am I looking at here? Onyewu, Okugo.
Miglioranzi was a good one.
Miglioranzi, yeah, Stefani Miglioranzi, yeah.
Yep, that was a good one to say.
Yeah. Nothing that was really difficult. You know, what do you you know, it's funny because it seems like everybody says Ula in a completely different way.
I'm telling, so here's the deal with that, right? Like I love the sort of song that came over from him, right? The Mikhail Uwe. Yeah. So I wanted to say like Mikhail, right, as his name. Yeah. Well, Erica Shear, our media person, had him on the. She had him with him. She was with him the day he came to the stadium, was introduced, right? Yeah. And it's pregame. She put me on the phone with him, and I said, "How do you say your first name?" He said, "Just say Michael." And now I'm thinking, it's not Michael, though. Like, I know it's not. Tell me how. And then he tried to tell me, but then he's like,
"We'll try to say it. You don't have to like, you know, dumb it down just because we're Americans or whatever. Like, we'll try to, you know, if this is like how your name's actually pronounced, like, we'll do it, you know."
Right, but he wanted to go with Michael, so I've kind of gone with that. Yeah. And then I honestly have to tell you that I think I've completely abandoned how he might say Uwe, and I've just embraced my inner Al Pacino, and I think it's kind of caught on. So I'm thinking it's pretty close. He hasn't told me otherwise, but you know, Uwe just lends itself. It's out there, yeah, too. That was also one for a top name, but I didn't want to put too many current guys on.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, because there's a guy who I'm close with who's been on this show before, and he's Danish. He's from Denmark, and we were talking about the guy, and he called him Michael Orr, and I'm like, right. Michael Orr, really? And but again, I don't know if that's like him dumbing it down to make it easy for us,
right,
compared to like what his actual name is. That's interesting about, you know, Erica having him with her there, because I was gonna ask, like, hey, have you ever just gone down to some dude and be like, please say your name for me?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's case in point right there. And you know, and the guy's telling me, hey, my name is this. You're gonna say what he wants, right? But you know, sometimes that's the other thing too, as PA announcers, we are at the mercy of the information being provided to us, right? And I'll give you an example of this. When I did college basketball at LaSalle for 17 years, a referee would call a foul, and you know that it is absolutely not that number. Right. But that referee has given you that number. So it's my job to just convey the information that the referee has given to me. Yeah. And inevitably you make the foul call, and the coach whose kid it is, right, goes nuts looking at me like I'm the one who did it. And every time the referee they would always come over and sort of talk with me, right, in a way that says, hey, yeah, it was the wrong guy. But never really. It always made me look like I was in the wrong. You know, like the referees never like were like, hey, my bad, I got it wrong. Yeah. They would always come over to the table. I always thought, man, every time you throw me under the bus here, you gave me the wrong information, right? So,
well, I was going to ask what the hardest part of the job is. Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know, it's being able to handle information in a professional way, in a timely fashion, because inevitably, a lot of times, what happens in soccer is that you have long periods of nothing. And then inevitably what happens is a goal is scored, three subs want to come in, and you have a caution, right? And so now you've got to be able to take all of that information quickly and do it in a way that is, you know, that sounds good and is professional and comes off as, you know, looking good. So, that's the big thing with soccer, Kev, is that a lot it's a lot of downtime with periods of a lot.
Yeah, I would say probably the same thing about when I was a television producer. You know, you just have to be able to, I don't know if multitask is the right, well, I guess like you have to be able to be able to navigate these like high highs and low lows of like, sometimes there's nothing going on. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, bam, bam. You got like three breaking news things and I'm shoving like a bunch of stuff into a show. And it's like, okay, now I got like information overload. Can I, you know, process this all in a way that makes sense, where we're gonna get it right. Like you have to, you go from like little to a lot and then back and forth. And there's probably some parallels there to what you're doing.
And soccer is even easier, because if a goal is scored at 13 minutes, 27 seconds on the clock, well, you know, it's the 14th minute. Super easy, right? But let's say it's 13:27 and it's a lacrosse game where there's 15 minute quarters. So what I need to do now is the math to figure out how far into the quarter the goal was scored, right? So 13:27 would be 1 minute, 33 seconds into the period, right? And so that's what I would announce as my goal call. So, you know, you're doing like other sports like lacrosse or something like that, especially wings, indoor lacrosse, where there were periods of time when we do lacrosse where it's like, nobody's in control right now. I mean, this is chaos down here, right? And then guys come over, there's 10 penalties, right? A goal's been scored, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of chaos when you were doing that. So soccer, You know, it's called the beautiful game for a reason, right? There's a, there's a certain nuance to it, if you will.
Well, I have a sheet here with a bunch of questions on them. I've asked all the questions. So I usually, you know, whenever I do something like this, I always like to just, you know, wrap it up by tossing it to the guest and having them tell us anything that they think is interesting that I may have missed.
No, you know what? The biggest thing that I can say about, I absolutely love my job. I love Philadelphia Union soccer. I've been there since day one. My son is in the academy program right now, playing at the U13 level. So I'm seeing that element of it.
Cool.
I do the Union 2 games. Love working the Union 2 games. Love seeing the talent there. So I'm in it from, you know, the youth level all the way up to the top. And, you know, I just want fans to know that when I'm there, I'm one of them. And like I said, they just have happened to give me a microphone, and that, you know, I suffer through the losses, you know, and just love the wins as well. So the biggest thing and the biggest enjoyment I have is being able to go through this journey with the crowd. And you know, hopefully we're going to work on something a little bit later in the season that will connect me with the crowd a little bit more. So we're trying to get approvals and things like that for what may be to come on a match for that. So
cool.
We'll leave it up there. Yeah.
Sounds good. We'll look forward to that. Whatever that may be. And in the meantime, hopefully the Union keep ripping off wins here. But yeah, follow Kevin on Twitter if you're not. It's at KCasey395. There's some good videos on there that kind of show the, you know, the behind the scenes of the goal calls and you know what it looks like going through that process. But yeah, thanks, man. That was fun. We learned a lot with that. Thanks for sharing the insight on that and giving us some information about something we don't know too much about.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on 170, Kev. I guess I'll see you at 340.
I don't remember. You know, I always have to go back afterwards. I'm like, hey, what am I at now? 174, 170.
Is that what it is? Yeah. No, I appreciate it, Kev. It's a pleasure talking to you, man. Listen, I think you cover the Union at the highest level. You know, I appreciate the X's and O's that you bring, the tactical aspect of what you do when you're breaking stuff down. And I've learned a lot from seeing your stuff and listening to you. So love to see you around more at Subaru Park. So hopefully we'll see you more over there, but no, you're good at what you do.
No, I appreciate that, man. Thanks. I, you know, maybe once the girls get a little bit older,
I hear you, brother. I hear that
a little bit more active down there, but yeah, it was nice to get down there and see everybody and try to increase my presence down there as we go on here, you know. So that was fun though, man. Thanks. We'll see you when we see you. All right, man.
All right, take care.